Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. I'm Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight is always pro-union Dan Ryan.
Yep, that's me. Toeing the line, Chris.
Today is Labor Day, so we're going to discuss our favorite games about manual labor. Be careful on that forklift, because the Stone Age Gamer Podcast starts now. This is one of the dumbest topics we've ever come up with.
Yeah, I know. Like, and what was so hard about it is, like, every game that I thought of, like, somebody mentioned in the Discord, and I was like, we're definitely going to talk about those. Those are the only ones I could think of.
I didn't really look at the stuff in the Discord too much, because I wanted to see how much crossover there was on the show. I did get into a big conversation at the end when Ferg mentioned Shove It, because I saw that one. I was like, I just happened to be sitting next to my copy of Shove It for Sega Genesis. Anyway, hi, everyone. This is episode 375. It's the week of September 10th, 2021. Dan, how the bloomin' onion are you?
I'm always good. I'm always fine. I'm like the fucking doctor. Me? I'm always fine. No, it's been... So, yesterday was... holy shit, what a fucking roller coaster of emotions, right? Because started the day really, really excited about the AEW pay-per-view that happened last night. I was like, oh, I can't wait.
I saw a lot of people talking about that was some good thing happened, but yeah. I don't know what any of it was.
Well, so, like, I was really, really excited about it. It was like there were rumors of people debuting. It was going to be CM Punk's first match in 7 years, which was great. I mean, I fucking love CM Punk, you know, and all that. And I was like, oh, there's this Kenny Omega Christian match should be a fucking great match. And, like, the Young Bucks and Lucha Bros should be an outstanding match. And it was. You know, so I was really, really excited about that. And I was like, oh, and there's a Yankee game on earlier in the day, and they're playing the Orioles, so, like, the Yankees are going to win, and then I'm going to hang out and play some video games, and then I'm going to go down and watch this pay-per-view, and it's going to be great. And then things started taking a turn during the Yankee game, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, man, like, they're losing. Shit, they're giving up run. Fuck, like, what's happening? How are they losing to the Orioles again? The Orioles are the worst team in baseball this year. How is this happening? So, like, all that's happening. And then my wife calls me upstairs. Tiff calls me up. And she's like, one of the kittens is having problems. I'm like, okay, what do we mean by that? Because, you know, they're still, like, they're less than a week old still. Or they're, like, a week old at this point. I don't even know.
So, like, all the days, can't get up the stairs, can't open its beer, or is it dying?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on? She was like, I think we're going to lose one of them. Fuck. All right. So, like, I'm holding the kitten and, like, you know, petting her and whatever. And she's, like, gasping and then whining. I was like, fuck. All right. Yeah. I mean, that's where that's going. So, like, I sent Tiff downstairs and I was like, just go eat your lunch, whatever, you know, like, I'll sit up here with the kitten, cause she's been, like, so heavily involved with the kittens, like, bottle feeding them every day, and, like, I've fed them, like, once or twice or whatever, you know, I'm just running out to the store to buy shit, and she's doing, like, the mothering of them, because I have to go to work, and they're eating, like, they're, like, babies, you know, they're eating every hour, and you gotta make them pee and, like, all that shit. And I'm like, I gotta sleep. I gotta go to work. So, like, I'm sitting there, and in my mind, I'm thinking, like, I don't want this kitten to die in Tiff's hands. That is gonna be just awful for her, right? It's gonna be awful for me too. Like, I know that this is what's coming.
Nobody wants to hold an animal as it dies. Well, yeah, that's not entirely true. I mean, we've seen hunters and some people related to, I'm sure Eric Trump would have gotten a real kick out of it.
I'm sure he would have had a blasty yesterday. So I'm sitting there and I'm laying in the bed and I'm holding this kitten on my chest and listening to the Yankees game, and the Yankees lose like in spectacular fucking fashion to the Orioles. I'm sitting there and I'm holding this kitten, and then Penn comes in and Katie comes in and they're like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "I don't want to bullshit you two. I don't think she has very much left." Like I don't, they were like, "What do you mean? Like, what do you mean by very, very much time left?" And I was like, "An hour?" You know, like, I was like, "I don't know, you know, I don't know. So they were like, "All right, well, can we hold her and whatever?" And, you know, like, so I let them hold her and they were petting her and she's gasping and wheezing and all that shit. And like, and I'm trying to check her heartbeat. And like, cause if you put a kitten up to your ear, you can hear the heartbeat. You know, and like, I can tell like the fucking heartbeat's getting weaker and shit. And I'm like, "Oh fuck. All right, girls, just go back in your rooms. And, you know, I'm just going to try and take care of her." And about 15 minutes after I sent the girls out of her room, or out of my bedroom, the kitten takes her last breath and fucking dies in my hands. Fuck. All right. So I text Tiff, like, "Hun, got to come upstairs. We lost her. She didn't make it." And then the girls came in. Everybody's fucking crying. Son of a bitch. And like, now we gotta bury this cat. But the girls wanted to get like a fucking like art kit from Amazon, like they wanted, because we're gonna bury her outside, right? Because she's in this fucking weird. She's in the freezer right now because the art kit didn't come in. So we're gonna do that and put that outside. You know what I mean? So like all that happened. Hi, honey. She's bringing the other one in right now. Okay. So like all that happened and it was like, "Oh my god, this is just so sad and so terrible. I'm gonna go downstairs and I'm gonna watch this pay-per-view, and I really, really hope that this pay-per-view is awesome, because that is very much what I need right now." And then watching the pay-per-view, it was awesome. Like, I watched it with Dean and with your other co-host Matt, the one you're cheating on me with, and a couple other people from the Discord, like, popped in and whatever. And the pay-per-view was incredible. Like, every match was fucking great. And, you know, spoilers for anybody who hasn't seen it yet and cares about this kind of thing. Fucking Adam Cole debuted last night, which was incredible. And then Bryan Danielson, formerly Daniel Bryan, came out, and that was incredible. And, like, it was just this whole fucking roller coaster of a day, man. And, oh, it's a weird fucking day yesterday, Chris. It's a weird day. I'm really glad I had the day off today. I needed a day to fucking sit back and like, "All right, I gotta collect myself." You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's shit.
Yeah, it was a roller coaster of day. And that's like, rough, and that's,
man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, like, well, and it's part of the thing, you know, like trying to explain it to the kids of like, "Look, guys, this is a path that we've decided to go down." You know, trying to help these animals when they're in distress, you know, which is how we ended up with these kittens in the fucking first place. So this is going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to, like,
you can't save them all.
Yeah. You just can't, like, and it had this happened out in the wild, she would have made it 2 or 3 days as opposed to a week. You know, and
how many kittens are left?
Three out of the six. So that, which is honestly, that's about average for like emergency sections and like not necessarily healthy cats, because like the mother cat didn't get the best prenatal care. You know what I'm saying? Like, which sounds like a ridiculous thing, like prenatal care for a cat, but the mama cat didn't get any of that, so the fact that three of them are still doing okay is kind of a big deal, and the one that we're, I think, theoretically keeping is doing, I think, okay, you know, but like now the girls are all worried about Raz, because we've decided to name him Raz, like Rasputin from Psychonauts, because... That was the other thing. I was talking to Matt from Discord, and like, I have Psychonauts 2 now. I wasn't going to have Psychonauts 2 because my Psychonauts 2 money is wrapped up in these kittens right now. You know, it was like, shit, I gotta lay out like $3,000 for these, for this cat and these kittens and whatnot. And like I was talking about it in the Discord a couple nights ago, and Matt was like, just messaged me, and he was like, I'm gonna fucking take care of you, dude. And like, so humbling and awesome. And it's amazing, and I'll talk about that in a sec. But, you know, it was like, all right, so we're going to name the cat Raz. And, you know, so I think that one's doing okay. That's what I'm saying. Trying to have this moment with the kids of, like, this is part of it. Like, having a pet, you know, God willing, and the creek don't rise, you're going to outlive your pet. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is just a thing that you're going to have to start coming to grips with, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's been a rough couple of days. The pay-per-view was really good, though.
So, I'm very glad that the wrestling thing worked out for you. That's a heck of a hard... I couldn't do what you do.
It's hard, man. It's because like,
not do it.
I'm fucking like, I'm crying. You know what I mean? Like, we're all sitting there crying around this kitten that, like, these kittens are so young that their eyes aren't even open yet. You know, like their eyes still aren't even open. And that was one of the things like that the girls were focusing on of like, it's so sad she didn't even get to see anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, I get that as a 12-year-old, I understand why that part of it speaks to you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sad about it for a whole other host of reasons. But, like, that's some profound shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then sitting here watching the pay-per-view and, like, talking shit back and forth with Matt and Dean, and Mike Sheridan popped on there for a little bit and was cracking me up, and Truth was in there for a little bit, like... making comments in the Discord, and we're fucking sitting here screaming and yelling like, oh shit, blah, you know, like freaking out. It was great. It was exactly what was needed. So it's been a wild couple of days, Chris.
As sad as all that other stuff is, I'm glad that the universe provided what you needed afterwards.
Like, it did. That's
pretty nice when that works out.
It is, and like it was so nice the couple of nights before that of like sitting down and, you know, play the show earlier in the day, and then sitting down with Tiff and playing Psychonauts 2, and it's just fucking perfect. It's just perfect.
Yeah, I've heard pretty much universal good things about that game.
Whatever time they needed to get it right, I'm glad they took that time. Because like the first couple of worlds or mines that you explore or whatever introduce a lot of the new mechanics in the game, and there's a really cool part right in the beginning where you get to the right, because the game takes place after the VR game, the Rhombus of Ruin. So kind of jumps right in and does a really, really good job. The intro movie does an amazing job of highlighting Psychonauts 1 and Rhombus of Ruin, going through all the key story bits. And then you jump right into the game and you end up at the Psychonauts headquarters, and you're an intern, right? Raz is not a Psychonaut, you know, which Raz is like, you know, like I'm an agent. What the fuck, man? They put him back as an intern, so you're kind of exploring around this building, and you're trying to find Lily's, like, what happened to her dad in the Rhombus of Ruin, and what's going on, and you end up going into the teacher's classroom, and she's, like, the head of the Psychonauts, or she's the second in command of the Psychonauts, and she's teaching this class, and the first thing that they're teaching you is mental connections, so you go into her mind, and it's this really cool mechanic in the game, where, as you're walking around the world, like, these thought bubbles will pop up, and it'll say, like, you know, like, risk and reward, or whatever. And you jump into one of them, and then as you look around the map, there will be other thoughts that you can then connect to whatever you jumped into. Right? So, if you're... The object of this one was, Raz and the other interns wanted to go on this mission to the Lady Luctopus Casino, because they're trying to figure, you know, like, it's like not getting too much into the whole story, right? They had to get to this Lady Luctopus Casino because there was some shit going down and they wanted to figure it out. The kids weren't allowed to go on the mission. So Raz decided to change the teacher's mind. So he goes, as he's in her mind, you can hear her thoughts of saying, like, you know, it's too risky to take the kids here. They, you know, they're not going to be able to, like, what if they get hurt? What if, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens or whatever? And eventually, through making different connections in her mind, you change her mind to the point where she believes that the best way to save the Psychonauts is to go to the casino and, instead of paying attention to the mission, go gamble to make money so that nothing ever bad ever happens to the facility again. Like, I'm going to go. And how many times have you heard that, right? Like, I'm going to go, I got to pay my mortgage. The
plot of Empire Records.
Right. Exactly. You know what I mean? I mean, my buddy
today,
my other buddy, Chris, not you, works at a casino in Philly, and he tells, like, at the live casino or whatever. And he tells me all the time about people that are down there on the floor, you know, like a blackjack table or whatever, that are getting pissed at the other players who maybe don't know what they're doing, you know, like on a Tuesday night or whatever, you just get some young people in there who aren't very good at card games or whatever. And, like, he breaks up fights between people, like, trying to make enough money at the casino to pay their mortgage or to pay their rent. Yeah, right?
That's
basically the first level of this game. So as it's teaching you this new mechanic, because when you jump into these thought bubbles, there'll be like another one across the way, and you'll kind of highlight it and you just kind of warp over to it. Right? So like, you don't have to jump and double jump and platform. You just kind of warp from area to area. I'm trying to think like a good way to compare it. Like, kind of, if you think about the barrels in Donkey Kong Country, uh-huh. You know, like you jump in a barrel and you can shoot into another barrel to connect it and make your way around the room,
yeah.
Right, or the level that you're in. Kind of similar to that, but in a 3D space. So, like, it's this really cool mechanic, too. But it's also this really heavy, like, risk-reward gambling. Like, it's just, it's such a well-done game. I mean, just, my God. It's just, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. I could not be any more impressed with it and more grateful to Matt for you know for taking care of me in that way in a time when like I wasn't going to be able to do it, you know what I mean, like to getting it to this point of being like, nah, dude, this is some shit you gotta do. You know what I mean, like that's just so cool, and I'm so eternally grateful and humbled by that. You know, it's great that the game is great. That would have, because how awkward would that have been? We're like, oh, Matt did this really awesome thing, and fucking sucks though. it's a fucking terrible game. Like, because that, like, would I have to come on here and lie about it? I don't know, man. It'd be weird.
that's an emotional roller coaster and a half, man. That's like,
oh my God, that's just like the last 4 days, Chris.
That is.
I don't even remember.
And heartbreaking and
oh, all of those things. I don't even know what happened before that. I'm sure I played Pad. I'm sure I played Puzzle and Dragons. We did just get the fucking Duel Masters collab in North America on Puzzle and Dragons, which is super weird. It's a collab that has happened 7 times in Japan, and we have not gotten any of those 7 previous runs, and we got it this morning on the 7-3 run, and it was like, yeah, that's coming. Okay, cool, I guess. I suppose. God,
Duel Master. I'm trying to remember Duel Masters. It was one of the... Because that was part of that wave of...
Yeah.
Like, post Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff, right? Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah. Was like the second coming of Pokemon for a while there, and then it was just like, all right, yeah. Duel Masters, yeah. And Fossil Fighters, and all kinds of other... Malarkey.
Yeah, all types of stuff, and Shaman King, and like all these other weird ones, and like, and, but it's just, it's weird getting this collab in North America, because, like, it's one of the... It's, I don't know what this says about me on the, as a person, but I enjoy reading people on the internet, like on Reddit in particular, who have literally no idea what the fuck they're talking about, get proven wrong. That makes me very, very happy. You know, because people, like, as, especially in fandoms like the ones that we are parts of, people feel very entitled to their opinions about things, and how their opinions are somehow better than other people's. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a few weeks ago when the internet informed me, like, not this is my opinion, just like, this is a matter of fact, Chrono Trigger is not as good as you think it is. And like, okay.
Yeah, like, oh, sure. Of Fuck course you. It is. Yeah, right? And there's a couple people on the PAD subreddit that like to pretend that they somehow have figured out the internal workings of Gung Ho North America, and they know what collabs are coming in what order and why we don't get certain ones that Japan gets and all of this shit. And then stuff like this happens where it's like, oh, so we haven't gotten this the previous seven times, but we got it this time. And like, a bunch of people on the PAD subreddit will then go back and pull up a bunch of quotes. Like, they're very shitty with the receipts that they keep, but it makes me happy. You know, they're like, actually, on November 2nd of, you know, 2018, you fucking said, that shit'll never fuck come here. I know it's not gonna come. I don't know why all you people are so fucking blah, blah, blah. You know, and then that shit shows up. So, I don't know, that kind of thing just makes me happy. Plus, it gives me hope that we might eventually get the Marvel collab that we still haven't gotten.
Yeah, it's one of those great things that's like it's similar to me with the Smash Brothers characters, you know?
How, yeah,
like,
very, very
every
similar.
Every single time it's been like, nah, it's definitely going to be Dante. Like, it's a leak. I know it for sure. Like, you don't know anything. You don't know why they're not allowing certain characters, or like, what you can try to come up with all this logic all you want. You don't know.
Yeah, and that's okay that you don't know.
It really is. Like,
you don't work there.
I love
there.
Not knowing stuff.
Yeah,
I'm a big
man.
Fan of not knowing stuff, which is great because I don't know a lot.
Right? I have avoided everything about Shang-Chi. I don't know shit about it. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. I don't know how the ticket sales were. I don't know. I don't even know the actors' names who are in it. That's not true. But I'm like purposefully avoiding spoilers about that shit because I don't know, you know, and I don't want to know. And when it comes to stuff like this, like, it's fun, I think, to have that conversation at times of like, wouldn't it be cool if, right? Mm-hmm. Like half of what we were talking about at the pay-per-view last night was like, oh, wouldn't this be fucking cool? But not sitting there being like, I know what's going to happen. I had a conversation with somebody on Discord, or not on Discord, on fucking Reddit, like, a week and a half ago about why I thought, right, and this is what I need to be doing with my fucking free time when I'm pooping, right? I need to be arguing with fucking dipshits on Reddit about why I think Adam Cole is going to AEW versus re-signing in WWE, and like, you know, it's like, you're, like, I just voiced whatever the fuck my opinion was at the time, and like... You're a fucking idiot if you think that's what's going to happen. You're a fucking moron. Blah, blah. Here's all the reasons why I know he's resigned. Like, all right, dude. That's cool. Good for you. Like, I'm just trying to have, like, a healthy conversation about shit I think is cool. You want to come in here and be a fucking keyboard warrior? Come in and tell everybody why their shit's fucking stupid. Good for you, man. I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but bless. Bless up, I suppose. It's been a weird week, Chris.
How do I follow that?
Yeah, I don't think you do.
Let's
don't know.
Talk about the weird shit I've been up to. It's nowhere near as interesting.
I was going to say, I'll keep going. It was weird hearing you all talk about me. Oh, I told this to Evan, too. I'm just going to mention it to you because I thought it was funny. So I'm listening to the podcast, right? And it's always it's weird... listening to the two of you talk about me. I'm like, oh, that's me they're talking about. It's weird. like I'm sure it's weird when Matt Flamger hears us say, like, fucking thank you, Matt, like, for what you did for us. Like, that, like, oh, that's me. That's cool. So I'm listening to the podcast as I'm driving around on Friday. And, like, I went to, like, the liquor store or something like that. And I'm listening. And I'm listening to you talk to Evan about ordering clothes for the wedding. And I thought to myself, fuck. Did I forget that I am in this wedding? I don't think I am. I'm not. I don't feel any certain way about that. But was I supposed to? Fuck, did Evan and I? Because it's my life is a fucking shit show most of the time. Like, that's what my fucking life is. So it's logical, nay, probable, that is a conversation that might have been had that I might have forgotten. Because, like, I know Tiff's doing shit with Angie with the cake and like, planning other shit. So I come home and I'm like, honey, am I in Evan's wedding and I forgot? And she was like, no. I was like, are you sure? Should I ask him? She goes, how the fuck do you ask him that? did you forget you're in his wedding? You're not in his fucking wedding. I know you're not. Angie would have said something to me. I was like, all right, good. But I did bring it up to Evan before you got on. I was like, I'm not, right? Like, and he was like, no. I was, okay, cool. We're good then. I'm just going to show up and be stupid. Like, that's fine. I have to, like, order a certain color shirt. Awesome. I was freaking out when I was driving around. I was so concerned. Anyway. You went on vacation.
I did. I went so on jealous. Vacation. Yeah, Karen really wanted to go on vacation, so we rented this little tiny, like, I don't know, upstairs apartment sort of thing in the Poconos. And
like an Airbnb kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So we're driving out there, and it was the day after, the 2 days after the storm. So, no, it was, like, the day after the storm. So, we didn't hit any actual, like, real weather or anything, but we saw a lot of the damage, which was weird.
Yeah.
Like, driving by lots of chunks of road that are just covered in mud and dried up dirt and lots of cars. So, that
did,
was, like...
Did any of that... Because none of that, like, got to you where you live, right?
It got real close. There was a tornado like 15, 20 minutes away from me, I think.
Yeah.
That was just disturbing. But no, yeah. Nothing really hit us here. It was just, everything was fine.
Yeah, because like my laundry room flooded. But like that was the worst that we had. You know what I mean? Mm. But like I have a split level house. You know, like half of my house is underground.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just going to happen at times.
Yeah, it did a number on my sister-in-law's house.
Did it really? Up north, right?
Yeah, up in somewhere in not all the way North Jersey, but like yeah, maybe in like almost 2 hours away from us. It was we were just kind of hanging out in the evening, and they had just gotten back from vacation.
Okay.
And right before they left for vacation, my brother-in-law put in new floors in the living room because they had ripped out pretty much everything in their downstairs. And then she posted on TikTok this video of like the front of their house, like out the front door, which was like, so they're near a river and like there's just, a road in front of their house and their front yard is just a lake and there's just water gushing through the guardrail, like on the opposite of the street, like it's whooshing right towards their house. And then the second little TikTok video was her walking through ankle deep water on top of the brand new floor that he just put in.
Oh, that sucks.
That sucks so bad. Like at least the kitchen floor was still like not done. Like they didn't even.
Yeah,
it was all just ripped up. So it's like,
yeah,
well, whatever. We're redoing that because it's been water damaged. So fun. But they shut off the power and they hung out upstairs and it was just like, man, it was brutal looking. Everything that hit there. So I felt terrible for them. But so we went out to the Poconos and we were in this little like upstairs of a house that was right next to what's normally a relatively calm river. Like, it's a nice, you know, flowing river, but like it was a rapid when we got there. It was loud and really cool looking. And as the days went on, it got calmer. We were only there for a couple of days, but so we were in the kitchen was the kitchen was a little less than advertised.
Aren't they always?
Yeah, it was like this little tiny nook that had a microwave, a toaster oven, and a sink. And then, like, I want to call it a hot plate, but it was like, it was really just two oven burners and a couple of dials on, like, some aluminum foil.
Yeah, yeah, seen those. It's,
so that was an experience. You know, not really what I was aiming for there. So, you know, food on the vacation wasn't, I wasn't like, yes, we need to spend money on a vacation right now anyway. So, like, to go out somewhere on vacation and not just eat all the food I want to eat, like, good food the whole time.
Right.
Was a little disappointing. But I made the most of it because I was on vacation. So all this work I've been doing, like, not snacking and not eating garbage, like, that went right out the window. It's like, fuck that. I'm on vacation. I had Chili's for dinner two nights in a row. That shit was great. Chili's queso. I just love it. I know it's not good, but it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But it was a good time. We forgot to pack all of my daughter's underwear, and they provided towels, but no washcloths. So there was a trip to Target. There was also no trash can. That was neat. But we needed a new kitchen trash can anyway. So
it's a bold choice.
We bought washcloths and underwear and a new trash can. So, and then we just took the trash can home with us because now we have a nice trash can in our kitchen as we needed. So,
can we just pause for a second and discuss the absurd prices of trash cans?
Yeah, what the hell, man?
They're absurd.
They've always been too.
But like the crazy thing is that the trash can, like the nice trash can, like the stainless steel. Put it in your kitchen so people aren't like, ugh, what the fuck's wrong with you, is like $6,000, right?
It's nuts. If you want a nice, like a really nice-looking trash can, it's just bank-breaking.
But if you go to the outdoor section and you want the big 50-gallon, I could put a body in this plastic trash can, they're like $7.48. Like, they're so cheap. Dude, this is... There's something not right about this.
Yeah, something seriously not right about the trash can market. I remember when we got our first apartment together, going to Bed Bath & Beyond, like, all right, I'm just going to go grab a trash can, and like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
$75 to put what?
$75 to throw, like, fucking... just old Twinkie wrappers in? This is weird.
It doesn't work any different. It just looks nice. So I always go with like the cheap white thing at Target that's the most affordable. And it's fine. It looks fine in my kitchen. It's fine. Everything's fine.
And even that is still $40. Fuck.
The one I got was not too bad. I think it was like 20 maybe. I'm actually going to look this up because it's the... I had the right, what used to be the regular bullshit Target white trash can.
Yeah.
And then they discontinued that one. So I couldn't buy a new one because I, you know, I have a garbage and recycling next to each other.
Right.
So it was $15. There it is. Right. That's there.
Not bad.
Yeah. Room Essentials trash can white. And I'm going to get a second one too. So they match, but I need to get a little recycling sticker to put on that one. Because the old ones that I had,
got to get a Cricut. Just make one. Make yourself a sticker.
Yeah. Well, I do need to. I still need to do the marquee on my arcade cabinet as well. The marquee
art. Yeah, yeah.
I want it to match the side art. I guess that's a conversation for another time. But anyway,
also thankfully, we bought the Cricut after we gave you the thing. So
like here, step open trash cans. Let's just click on this. More bullshit regular ones, $22.99, $15, $55.
Yeah, I get out of here.
And then there's like other like $15 ones are like the size of a soda can.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely insane. Oh, look at this. Simple Human 45-liter stainless steel step trash can. See price in cart. Oh, I got to see this.
Oh, my God. It's
$978.
$99.99. God.
Anyway,
good
God. Other things to complain about that I bought at Target. So, like, there were a couple of different options for little girl undies.
Sure.
And there was, like, some superhero ones. She's like, all right, that's pretty cool. Those are my those are my front runner. Ryan the Last Dragon. We saw that. She liked it a lot for a couple of days, but she hasn't really talked about it since.
Same here. That movie kind of faded pretty good. No songs. That's why.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no songs. You're 100% right. That is exactly what the trouble was. And then there was Frozen, and there was My Little Pony.
Mm.
She's been wonderful. Really into My Little Pony. Friendship is Magic lately. So that's the one that I got, and it has. On the artwork, and as a matter of fact, I'll show you the picture that I sent to Karen. I'm just going to throw that right in the chat here, and this is the picture of the three that were like my front runners. Paige isn't available right now. What's going on with Messenger? Settle down, Messenger.
Are we Discord chatting or Facebook chatting?
I'm throwing this in the Facebook Messenger right now.
Okay.
There. It was unsent. What is going on with? There it goes. All right. Now it's
there. We go. It's okay. I got to pop up. All right.
These were the options, and she's been mostly into My Little Pony lately, so I picked the My Little Pony ones.
Yeah,
First glance. Now look at the actual underwear. Do you recognize any of those characters?
No, I do not.
Yeah. Apparently, so the label, as you can see, is the Friendship is Magic. Like,
yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, that's Twilight Sparkle and Pinkie Pie.
Exactly. That's not what's on the underwear. And they don't even have the same names. Apparently, there's a new My Little Pony movie or something coming out.
Is there?
These characters are from that.
Son of a bee sting. I had no idea.
And honestly, I don't like the artwork. I think Friendship of Magic is hilarious.
That show's wonderful.
Fun. I like reading it with reading all the books with Ellie. Like that's a good time.
But yeah.
Like the artwork on these new ponies is kind of gross. I don't like it at all. And she doesn't know who any of the characters are. She's like, they're cute. They're unicorns and they're pink, whatever, but they're not what she wanted.
Yeah.
And now I'm really wishing I had gotten the DC Superhero Girls ones.
Yeah, that's probably what I would have gone with.
It was what I wanted to get, but she's been really into My Little Pony a lot lately. So I was like, this is the safest bet to not cause any trouble. And
you want your kid to have agency in their own underwear.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody knows that.
So what the bloody heck was that about? Anyways.
That's so weird.
That's the wrong branding on the...
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah, not cool at all. Somebody mucked up.
Anyways, on purpose.
Yeah, like seriously. There's no way. Like, all right, that could have been a mistake, but also that could be just a marketing strategy. Like, there you go. Oh, new ponies? There you go. Enjoy. Find out about them. Whatever. So since I was on vacation, I spent a lot of time playing Uno with Karen and the kids and really just sitting. There was a fire pit in front of the river, and I sat in front of the fire pit, you know, with fire and a river as often as I possibly could.
Right.
Throughout the trip. That was my number one priority. As often as I could do that, I did. But it also meant that I didn't really get much game playing in because, you know, we brought the Switch. But John is still somewhat obsessed with Mario Odyssey, so he was playing a lot of that while we were there.
Oh, that's cool.
He did finish the main game. He made it to the dark side. Again, he's playing on the easy mode, but still he's you know, physically accomplishing the things, and I'm very proud of him. I beat Mega Man 3, which is kind of like my vacation tradition. I'll just, you know, sit down and top to bottom Mega Man 3, and so that was a hoot. I did that one. John's still really into Mega Man, so that's been fun.
They just ranked, I just listened to it on the Retronauts podcast. They ranked all of the numbered Mega Man games from the original series, including Mega Man and Bass. And Mega Man 2 was the clear victor, and Mega Man 3 was not number 2.
What?
Yeah. Interesting. Listen, I think you should download the episode. I'll try. If I can, I'm pulling up my app right now. I don't remember exactly where it ranked. It was episode 365. Actually, it fucking came out in March, so it's really old at this point. But you and I are not current on anything, so that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really interesting, and they had people on there from, like, that ran, like, the original Mega Man fan boards and stuff, and, like...
And that's fine, they can be wrong, too.
I just... Jeremy Parrish does not agree with you, and I know that that might break your heart, so...
Jeremy Parrish does not agree with me on many things. He's still my fucking hero.
Sure.
That man's a goddamn treasure, but... Sorry, it is, Mega Man 3 is just... No, it's
worth good. A listen. It's if worth it's a listen. If
it's not number one, it's got to be number two. And there's no Mega Man game that could possibly... It's just not. I don't know.
Their opinions were really, really... it was a really interesting podcast. Because you and I can never do what we do, like ranking games. We could never do that with Mega Man. Because we will never convince the other one that... I will never convince you that 2 should be above 3. You will never convince me that 3 should be above 2. So the rest of them, we could have a conversation on.
We should do the rest of them. Now we should just, you know, concede that 2 and 3 are tied at number 1.
Right.
And then we'll rank the rest of them. That could be fun.
All right. Yeah.
I like that for the future.
It was an interesting listen. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, that's
I digress. You digress. I digress for you.
the utter disrespect of Mega Man 3 not being, if you're going to go with 2, to not put 3 right after 2 is just insane to me.
I agree, but...
Madness. All right. Speaking of Mega Man, since I'll stick with that, earlier today, so John's been enjoying Mega Man music and whatnot, and... going through my art books and stuff, and I booted up on the arcade cabinet the Power Battles.
Very cool.
So the two of us played through 2 of the 3 campaigns in Power Battles, and he loved it. He thought it was the coolest thing. Like, those games aren't great. They're fine, but, like, they're really neat looking, and the music is awesome. So it's like, and because they're stupid easy... And we can play it co-op. It was awesome because he's just blasting away as Proto Man, like taking down a Dive Man and whatnot. And he just thought it was the coolest thing. So that's awesome.
Which collection were they on for the first? Was that the Mega Man Anniversary Collection on GameCube? Where they were the GameCube, first time?
Eventually, PS2? PlayStation, and Xbox as well. Yeah. Yeah, the terrible GameCube one where they reversed the jump and shoot buttons and you couldn't remap them.
God, that was frustrating.
It's like, I mean, first off, playing it on a GameCube controller was insane with that tiny little D-pad.
It was.
I was so happy when they put that on PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I'm good. All right.
This will be okay. This is fine.
I actually went to boot up my PlayStation 2 version earlier today. I have no idea where my PS2 memory card is. So I threw my PS2 copy in the system, and like the DualShock that I have for my PS2 down there is just broken. So I'm like, I got to dig out another DualShock because I just want to play these games. And then I was like scrolling through the menu. I was like, you've got to unlock the Power Battle games. I forgot. I don't have time to blow through Mega Man 3 and Mega Man 7 right now to try and get to... There's an arcade cabinet right over there.
I just go play them over there.
So I went over there. I searched Mega Man. Lo and behold, there they both were. They both worked flawlessly. So
the authentic experience.
Yes, indeed. So that was a hoot.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, Chris.
It truly, truly is. Let's see. I did finish Doomsday Vault. I don't remember where I got with this last week, but the two games that I have to review just... cut in a very short period of time. I finished Doomsday Vault, which is a neat little game. Right, it's $20. One of the listeners told us about that last week when I was talking about it. It is a neat little game. I think it would be worth the $20 if you like that kind of thing. It's just all environmental puzzles. It's very clever. It's very cute. And I enjoyed my time with it. Now I'm working on World's End Club.
Who is that by?
The writer of Danganronpa.
Okay. It's got some weird DNA in there, I think.
It does. World's End Club. Come on. Club. You can do it. It just Google search World's End. Whatever. Let's see. developed by Tukio Games and Grounding, and published by Izanagi Games. It was an Apple Arcade thing last year, and now it's on Switch. And more developers, Tukio development. The game was announced, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to figure out, like, who... It's got some connection to Danganronpa. I know that.
Yeah. I'm looking at it now because I have Apple Arcade because I got a free subscription to it with my new phone. Yeah, this looks... This does not look like something I want to play on mobile.
Well, that's just it. I can't imagine the experience being all that different, to be honest with you.
Okay.
There is some moving around, but it's super clunky. And okay. The moving around isn't really the game. It's very visual novel. It's very solving a mystery kind of a thing. It's all about the decisions you make more than... At least so far in my game and my playthrough with it, it's more about the decisions you make than the actual execution of gameplay things. And okay. The stuff like the little bits of platforming and moving around have been, they feel very chunky, but they're so tertiary it doesn't really matter. It's got a hell of a personality. If you take a look at this, and you know, Reicho and his fellow members of the Go-Getters Club, if that sentence right there is interesting to you, then this game's for you. If that sentence right there turned you off and you're like, yeah, that's some anime bullshit I don't want anything to do with, just run screaming. This game will not be for you. The voice acting reminds me very much of what people don't like about localization. It's not great. It's not like super horrible, but there's something really unnatural about all of it. It doesn't feel like the voices just don't work. Every character is a different, very, very well-established anime trope. There's the chubby kid that's obsessed with pork buns or whatever.
I do fucking love pork buns. that kid always speaks directly to me. I'm not gonna lie.
The loudmouth kid with the baseball hat that's like always wants to take charge, and then there's the super cool older guy with the really deep voice. And yeah, you're half the cast of this game.
I really feel like I might be. Shit.
You are the male half of this cast.
I currently have a baseball cap on. I am loud, and I love pork buns, and I'm chubby. Son of a bitch! I am an anime trope. I had no idea until just this moment.
So there's this little,
which I feel is also an anime trope. I've been the hero all along. Son of a bitch!
I am your Krillin to your Goku.
I saw a fucking meme the other day of like Ginyu Force or whatever, like where they landed on the planet and Goku was like, "Sup, motherfuckers, you looking to fight?" And they were like, "Nah, man, we're from another planet. We're just here on vacation." It's like, "Oh, motherfucker, stepping," and like just start beating the shit out of him. Like, yeah, that's pretty much Dragon Ball right there. What's up, yeah, man? Anyway, sorry.
So there's this, like, how do I explain the plot of this so far? There's this little weird demon harlequin looking thing with a funky eye named, what is it, Valiope or something?
Okay.
No, Valiope doesn't sound right. It's something like that. I was just looking at it. Reicho, Vanilla, Pochi... Rachel, Bob, Pielope, that's it.
Rachel, Vanilla.
No, not Rachel, Reicho.
Rachel, oh, Rachel. I thought you said Rachel. It's like, doesn't sound very anime. Anime. It doesn't sound either of those.
Shit. So this Pielope thing kidnaps everybody somehow. Like, it's got this weird visual style, right? It's very... It executes the anime look that it's going for extremely well, and then it switches to this disturbing cinematic of a much more realistic art style, like hyper-realistic going for, mm-hmm. but with this creepy little anime Harlequin-looking thing, Penelope, who does a thing to a bunch of classmates, and then it turns out it's a movie that's being watched on a school bus, and then the school bus gets hit by, like, an asteroid or something, and then you all wake up in this underwater theme park, and Penelope is makes you do what they were doing in the movie, which was play what they call the Game of Fate. So everybody has a wristband on that has, like, this thing that they have to do on it. So, like, one of them is this character has to eat a marshmallow, but you have somebody else's information on your wrist. So nobody knows what they need to do to win the game. And everybody who doesn't win the game dies. One person who does win gets a key to anything that you can use exactly once, including on the door to get out of the underwater theme park that you're all trapped inside of.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, all of that tracks.
Yeah, so it's like trying to figure out who can you trust and how are you going to work together to try and see who can win. And then I just got through the first chunk of it, which was like, I don't know, I have no idea how much time I've put into it so far, but I just got past the first area where that game's done. And I figured that was going to be the game, but then it's like...
Right.
That no, but all right, well, round one goes to you. Let's move on to some other weird shit, and I haven't seen what the rest of the weird shit is yet, so it's something, man. It's an interesting experience. It's definitely not for me,
sure,
but it's definitely interesting. Like, the anime tropes, the characters that are just these complete just tropes. I don't know what else to say. They're these stereotypical anime characters are really grating.
Sure.
I don't like anybody particularly in the game. It does execute what it seems to be attempting to execute very well. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it yet, but it's been the forefront of my mind for today, at least since I got home. That end, as would probably make you more unhappy than almost anyone, we have been playing some Mario Party in this house.
Oh, God, that is terrible.
You know, I've grown to appreciate the pure chaos that is the original Mario Party for N64.
Sure.
I like the music. It's got some very nice tunes. And, it doesn't matter what you do because it's all gonna random shit anyway. So like, once I've taken that out of my experience and like, you know, doing my best to try and let the kids win, it's like, yeah, sure. The original Mario Party for N64 is kind of fun, and I'm okay with it in this instant. But John's like really into Mario Party right now, so he wants us to do more of it, and Ellie's into it too, and Karen's along for the ride because, you know, we're always looking for something to do as a family.
Karen is also here.
She's also, oh my god, we played last night. We played Mario Party 1 last night, and Karen got screwed so hard throughout the course of that game. It was unreasonable. The amount of bad luck she had. Came in dead last. Every opportunity for her to land on a Bowser space or whatever, it was unreal, the amount right. of things. She would get like one step away from getting a star, and then the next player would randomly get one of those spots that switches places with you.
Oh, and like, put her like back in the beginning.
Yeah, and it kept happening. It was unbelievable. I felt so bad for her. But so that was... It's been kind of fun, and it's something that everybody likes to do, and it's not something that Ellie's getting overly frustrated with, and because it's, I think she understands that it's like, well, if you can't accomplish this, it doesn't matter, because like they're all going to swap your stars around anyway, so
it's cares? Just fine.
It's all dumb luck. So today, John was like, "What other Mario parties do you have?" And I was like, "Oh no,
John, none." And you lied to your son to save him, correct?
No, because I don't have that many. I have a loose copy of 3.
Too many.
Which a lot of people say is the best one. I don't know. And then I also have 6 and 7 on GameCube. And the way he worded it was, what's the highest numbered Mario Party you have?
Well, probably in his mind, right, is the latest one must be the best one.
Maybe, theoretically.
Because he's a kid, right? So yeah. Best graphics, best whatever.
So we popped in Mario Party 7. And he thought it was fun. And I was like, wow, this ain't great.
I've tried. I've been barking up that tree for years, Chris.
I was like, I understand. They just overcomplicated it. The great thing about Mario Party is just like, go.
Right, oh, just no, be I silly.
I didn't understand the rules to this particular minigame. Whatever, it doesn't fucking matter. But this one, they've got. We were watching the tutorial for what must. It felt like a half an hour of just like. They introduced all these orbs and stuff, and you throw these orbs around, and they land on places, and they have all these different attributes, and there's like, what are you doing here, man? Like, just make Mario Party. This is super complicated. We didn't even play with the microphone either. But, like,
oh, you can choose. I forgot that one. You have to, like, blow into it. Like, there's, like, a sailboat
I have section, no idea.
I think. I know way more about these games because I hate them. than I should.
Well, when you don't play, like, they keep giving you the option to play without the microphone, but they don't take the spaces away. So, right. Like, you get to the space and they guilt trip you for not plugging in the microphone. Like, ah, oh, but you don't have the microphone, so we're just gonna, you just lose this turn.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems, then why is it an option?
Yeah.
Screw you. And it's not like it was to get you to go out and buy the microphone. The microphone came with the game. I just didn't want to fucking use it.
Right. I just didn't want to find it. I just, yeah,
I
mean, like
I had it. It was in the box. I didn't want to plug it in, and John didn't want to either. He was like, I was like, do you want to play with the microphone? I was like, no, let's just play with controllers. He didn't want to mess with any of that stuff, so we didn't. The game kept trying to guilt us into turning it, plugging it in, and no, I don't want to.
You're 100% right. Like, the first Mario Party was just like, oh, this is just like, okay, this isn't for me, clearly, but like, whatever, that's fine.
And it was just a board game with stupid mini games.
Right. If you have to have a tutorial in your Mario Party game, you done fucked up, Aaron.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, not just a quick
deep.
Here's tutorials. How you play the micro game. Like, no. This is all the weird shit that's gonna happen, and here's all the different kinds of things you can do, and the different, and you can go to the orb shop, and when you select these kinds,
Nope.
So I did not care for that.
No.
But I am still excited about the Superstars one that I have pre-ordered, because from what I've come to understand, it's like Mario Party boiled down to its basics, and that I'm into.
Sure.
Because that's fun with the kids.
Like, I would be super into it if they did Wario Party. You know, like, take all those, like, weird-ass games that are in all the WarioWare games, and, like, I'd be super, because there is an inherently fun concept in there. You know, and Tiff and
the new Wario game is great, by the way. I don't know if you downloaded the demo of it. There's a free demo of the new WarioWare. It's fantastic.
Like, I don't know how often you and Karen have tried this, but, like, Tiff and I have tried to be like, we should get, you know, like some of our couple friends over here, and instead of swinging for once, we should, you know, we should play a board game instead of wife swapping. And it's and we just never do, you know, like, we never end up with the board game thing, because I look at modern board games, I just,
oh my god,
holy shit, I don't have the time to learn any of this.
What was it? It was several months ago. I had friends over to do a board game night, and my suggestion was that fucking Turbo board game based on the Sega arcade game Turbo.
Yeah,
we had a ball. It was great. It's fine because, like, it's a stupid board game that, like, a kid can play. That's what I want in a board games.
Yeah, I don't
play Candyland tonight with the kids. That was fine.
I don't need a dissertation, you know, of like. It's just, it's crazy, and like, I want to do it, you know what I mean? Because, like, I gotta tell you, Chris, like, the swinging gets tiresome. It's a lot of work, and we're not as young as we used to be. It really is. I got fucking buckets of Gatorade. It's terrible. It looks like fucking NFL sideline, like, dumping shit on each other. It's crazy. sometimes I just want to play like Settlers of Catan, and I just don't understand. I feel like there's too much to learn. I'm too old.
Well, that's kind of that pretty much wraps up what I've been up to. Way more Mario Party in my life than I've expected. I'm gonna paint my basement soon. That's like
exciting.
The kids go to school tomorrow, and once you know the school days are full, one of my plans is to paint down here because I've determined that the walls are the color of old teeth. I love so much about this basement, and like it just has this dingy feel to it, and it's because of like the lights are yellow, but so are the walls.
Yeah, that's not a great combination.
It needs to be brighter in here. So
yeah,
I don't know that I'm going to change the light bulbs, but I think by changing the walls to a very very light gray, it's going to have a much nicer look down here. I'm very excited about it.
It's what my office is. One of the walls is light gray. The wall that I stare at is light gray. Everything else is like Yankees blue.
Oh.
Because I'm that nice guy. But
yeah, you are.
It's Yankees blue and cinder blocks. That's what I got out here. It's very, very rustic. That's not the right term. It's very industrial.
There you go. That's the complete opposite of rustic.
It's completely, completely different. I want it to be rustic. That's what I want. I want to live in a cabin in the woods, Chris. Like where you went on vacation. That's where I want to. I want to build an A-frame home in the woods that still gets good Wi-Fi. That's what I want. Want modern conveniences, but just in the woods.
Well, we're going to fantasize about living in the woods, and we're going to go on a break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about games about manual labor. Because I have great ideas. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now, here's a quick look at some of the other original content available now from our partners and Geekade.com.
First up, if you know us, and you do know us, you know that we're big fans of the 90s MTV sketch comedy show, The State. In fact, if you, the listener, aren't a fan of The State, I would argue, rightfully so, that you shouldn't be listening to this here show. Even if you are a fan, and you should be, I don't know if we've made that clear or not, but The State's really fucking good. You may have missed the theoretical, but I didn't because I'm a professional. You may have missed the theatrical directorial debut of The State's Mitral... Oh, this is not going well this week. Michael Patrick Chan, Drop Dead Gorgeous. It's a movie that tells the tale of a Midwestern town obsessed, like pumpkin spice life, obsessed with beauty pageants. There's Beauty Queens, an Adam West cameo, which is always outstanding, and lots of murder. It's also the first acting credit for young Amy Adams, who is delightful. If you want to hear Chris and his friends Sean and Paul talk about this movie, and you do want that, give a listen to A Theater Near You, Episode 6, Drop Dead Gorgeous.
It's a great movie.
Is it? Anyway, I've never seen it.
It's really something. It was very interesting. It stars Kirstie Alley. Which is really interesting because the subject matter is really taking the piss out of let's say that lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that she's definitely playing against herself.
It was weird. She's super problematic now.
Yeah, she really is. And knowing the person that she is and seeing her in this movie is which is all about taking the piss out of a specific type of human being. It's really something. Anyway, I recommend it.
All right.
Next, I have a lot of weird stuff in my video game collection. Most of it I've acquired willingly and specifically. But there are a few things in there that I've won in competitions of some sort, and those things range from Power Glove replicas to actual underwear. Do you want to know more about these items?
I promise.
I know you do. I know you do. I promise.
You know how much I give a fuck about your underwear.
It is. Man, you've got some serious giving some fuck about my underwear problems. I promise there will be bling if you head over to the Stone Age. It's a thing. Trust me, you watch this video. There's no other way to describe this particular object. Anyway, head over to the Stone Age Gamer YouTube channel and watch Stone Age Gaming Unusual Gaming Trophies.
Catchy. You know how I love bling. I'm just a fancy. I'm a fancy lady, Chris. Like my bling.
Like your Fine. Bling, like you like your men. Shiny.
Shiny.
Gaudy and gaudy as fuck.
Finally. I am just enamored with the Ramble Record Repeat podcast. I listen to them all the time. And I'm actually, not many people know this, president of their fan club. I'm not lying about that either, because there's no way Chris would write a script with the specific purpose, right, of me telling lies to our wonderful listening audience in order to get them to listen to another Geek Aid podcast, right?
No, of course not. I would never do that.
You would never. We have integrity. We have chutzpah. We have, in the words of the dearly departed, recently departed Alan Alda, we have spunk, Chris. Even though he hates spunk. He did hate it. You know who else is a fan, though, of the Ramble Record Repeat podcast? Do you know?
Is it me?
Yeah, well, obviously. Huh. Apart from you, though, the fine folks over at the Weekend Rental Podcast, they actually teamed up with the Ramble Record Repeat crew for a delicious, delectable crossover episode all about poutine, Canadian media, or Canadian, I believe is how you say it, and the mysteries of Panda Express. Be sure to check out Weekend Rental episode 107, The Gamer's Ramble Record Repeat. Fucking love Panda Express.
Yeah, but what's so express about it?
You're right. It doesn't appear to be much faster than any other Chinese food place. But man,
that's the mystery.
It may cause the drizzling shits, Chris, but it is not, in fact, the drizzling shits. It is outstanding.
For all this great content.
Great.
This great drizzling content and more from us and our partners. Be sure to keep your eyes on geekaid.com. We're back.
So you've got way more games on your list. Can I give you the first one that came to mind?
I mean, did we even? We didn't even really start talking about what we're doing yet.
That's
I mean,
right. I'm sorry. You introduced that, and then yeah. I'm sorry.
So we're talking I'm about really the excited. Labors of Hercules.
So we came up with the 12 labors of Stone Age gaming.
It's Labor Day, and I thought it would be fun to talk about games about manual labor. That's the entire backstory.
I was going to say, wow, that really didn't need a lot of explanation, did it?
It really didn't. I felt like the sentence was important. So you know what? Go for it, man. Show us what you got.
So the very first one that came to mind, like, as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, Death Stranding. Easy, right?
Okay, yeah.
Like, this is a game about, it's not at all about delivering packages. It's way more fucked up than that. But the delivering packages mechanic was so fun. It's weird that part of the game was enjoyable to me. Like, having to pick up orders and take them, like, just drive them across the countryside and, like, get into a little skirmish on the way or whatever. I was like, man, this is really fun. And then I started thinking, like, did you watch any of this stuff from Gamescom other than that one crazy trailer I showed you?
Maybe.
So there's the director's cut of Death Stranding coming out. And there's, like, all types of new ways to deliver packages. There's, like, a delivery catapult. You just fling your fucking packages into the ether and, like, go pick them up. And, like, there's just all this crazy stuff. And Hideo Kojima made a world that is just so... For me, I know that game was not for everybody. But for me, it was just so... interesting and satisfying of getting things from one place to another, wrapped up in this just absolutely batshit insane story. But the actual manual labor part of it, the delivering packages, was really well done and was the first thing I thought of.
Huh. I like it. Well, it's a good game.
I'm still not sure.
I've played it top to bottom. No idea if it was any good.
Yeah, I could not tell you.
Also, a game that was the first one to pop to my head was probably not the one that I expected to first pop into my head.
Okay.
But that was Bridge Constructor Portal.
Oh, that popped into my head too. Yeah.
Because that really is a game about building bridges. And
it is. Engineering. And
to do so, yeah. And not, getting run over by a forklift.
It's a really good game.
Yeah, that game's awesome and definitely well-deserving of the Portal name. Like, it is...
Definitely. Definitely.
As far as Portal spinoffs go, that's pretty top tier. Like, that was a fantastic game. Really enjoyed that one.
And just really kind of popped up out of nowhere. Right? Yeah, like, because really Bridge Constructor is a thing.
Yeah.
Right? So that was a game, and like, oh, that's cool. Like, Bridge Constructor, that's awesome. Whatever. And then it was like, Bridge Constructor Portal, yes, I'm into this idea. Love this idea. Have to play it. And the writing is just perfectly Portal.
Uh-huh. It's
wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Super delightful game. I've still never beaten it. I'm on, like, I think I got to, like, the last level, and I knew what to do, and I was like, this is going to be a challenge. I'll get to it when I get to it, and then I never got to it, and now I'm afraid to even try, because it's been so long since I played it. My brain just isn't there anymore, but what a wonderful, wonderful game that was. And it's very much about manual labor.
Yeah, very, very much about manual labor. And it is one of those things where you really do have to... you really have to play through it and focus your energy on it.
Yeah.
It's not something you can take a break from, because it does get super duper complicated.
Yeah, you really got to kind of keep, you got to keep a lot of plates spinning at the same time. Like, all right,
yeah,
this is going to go into this one. Because, whereas Portal is Portal, you have your blue portal and your orange portal. This one's like, you've got to manage like 14 different portals at the same time, trying to get from point A to point B without killing anybody.
Yeah, it's bananas, man. It's really, really crazy. I love
that
game. That
one. All right. Your turn.
Flight Simulator.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That counts, right?
Sure, why not?
I mean, I remember as a little kid on my on the computer that I had in when I lived in an apartment with my grandmother. I had the computer, and I talked about how I played Bushido on that computer, and I fucking loved that game, and like it just kept me occupied for hours and whatever. But I also played a lot of Flight Simulator back in the day, and I can remember being a kid and being just blown away by how realistic it really was. And look, I'm flying the plane, and oh my god, this is just so crazy. And I'm always crashing. I could never land. I was very launch pad in that in that respect. And, like, as time has gone on, it's certainly not something that I have returned to as I've gotten older, because I don't want shit to really stress me out the way that those games would now. But it is, I think, a really cool thing that still exists, and I'm very happy that Microsoft continues to make flight simulator games and release them for people who are super into that.
Me too. Every time a new one of those comes out, I'm like, that looks really neat. Reminds me of Pilot Wings, which didn't make my list because I didn't really consider it manual labor, but I guess, right. You know, we're just talking about doing jobs. So, yeah, the original Pilot Wings is more flight school. Flight simulator is like, no, you're a pilot.
Well, I see, maybe, and I don't know, like, I don't know what this says about me as a person, other than, like, I'm a commie liberal, I think. But, like, I find Labor Day to be this really interesting, this very American idea of, like, all the people with salaried jobs, we all get to take off so that the people with hourly wages still get to serve us on Labor Day. Like, not the whole country shuts down, just a certain segment of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, flight simulator.
People that don't need
a day off.
A holiday, yeah.
Yeah, we don't really need the day off. We can afford to take a day off because we get those hours and we're not going to get fired if we take the day. Yeah. So, like, flight simulator, you still got to fly people around and whatever. I don't know. That got dark. I'm sorry. I'm in a weird place today, Chris. Sorry. I apologize.
I understand. I do.
And I apologize to you, the listener.
Well, my second one was the one that kind of popped into our heads immediately when we mentioned the topic last time, which is Dig Dug.
Yeah.
I don't know what his job is exactly, but
digging,
you know,
holes.
You're just digging holes.
Digging holes and murdering.
Blowing up, yeah, just viciously murdering those dinosaurs.
I mean, like, he should be celebrated for finding those dinosaurs, but no, he's like, fuck that, I'm going to make you explode.
Like, viciously. Just from the stomach.
It's a fucked up game, man.
Yeah, the more you think about it, it's a...
It really is. And it's kind of this wonderful thing of, like, what video games were back... And, like, don't... This is not old man screaming at clouds, because I really do love all the modern shit that video gaming has become. I appreciate the craziness that some of these games contain within them. But there is this certain charm and nostalgic factor of just looking back in the day and being like, you just could have made a game about anything back then. Like, what is this game? Well, it's a dude, and you dig down, and every now and again, there's a dinosaur, and you shoot a little thing about him, and you gotta pump him full of air and blow him up. Fucking great. Make that. Let's do that. And they did, and it was great, and it was awesome. You know, like, that's not shit that gets made now. Anyway. I don't know if it 100% counts, but one that also came to mind, one of my very favorite, speaking of old school arcade games like that, was Burger Time.
Yeah. No, right? Burger Time totally counts.
Making
burgers?
That
was on my list, too. Yeah, I mean, you're doing it in a very, very unconventional way. Like,
right.
You're making gigantic, you know, building-sized burgers, and you're
with
running
your feet.
Away from... Yeah, with your feet. Did you're wearing shoes.
Yeah.
Shit ain't clean.
No.
But whatever.
Very unsanitary.
But it's a game about making burgers at the end of the day. That's solid material right there.
I'm into that. Oh, man, yeah. I love Burger
Time. Great. Love Burger Time.
Love Burger Time. I love the modern iterations of Burger Time. I have on my wish list on the PS5 one of these days. I'm going to break down after I finish my giant backlog of games, which is never going to happen. But, like, I really want to play that heavy burger. Like,
that one's great.
Yeah,
I got that on Switch. That one's a blast.
That seems like some shit I'd be really into. Like, give me more Burger Time, man. Just a really fun, solid game. It's solid mechanics, and, like, totally holds up to this day.
Agreed. Yeah, the original Burger Time is still a blast.
Yeah,
still really fun to play.
This is going better than I expected, Chris.
Yeah, I got a lot of these things. I got a lot.
All right,
of
start
up.
Rattling them off. What do you got?
All right, Wrecking Crew for NES.
Yes,
love
Wrecking
that game.
Crew.
Wrecking Crew is awesome.
I was never good at that.
I'm pretty decent at it. It's a fun little puzzle, like environmental puzzle kind of game. It's
It never really clicked with me. I dig it. I don't know that I ever gave it enough time, honestly.
It's like, one of those games that I feel like most people have not given enough time to.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like such a simple concept at first. And I swear, anytime I've had somebody really put the time into that game, it eventually just gets there like, okay, I get this. This is really clever. It's a very cool game. I love Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, I'm into that idea. That's a good addition to the list.
Yeah, because it's a Wrecking Crew. You're Mario with a sledgehammer, yeah. And you just have to break everything that you see.
Dig that. I also had Paperboy on my list.
Yeah,
I feel like
that's on my list.
Right, that's kind of an obvious one. That's kind of easy, but Paperboy's great.
I love that game. I liked the NES game quite a bit. And it seems like most people just grew up and loved the NES game, but like, I thought it was cool. I really liked Paperboy for NES, but what blew me away was the arcade game. When I finally saw the arcade version.
Those handlebar controllers, man.
Oh my God, those handlebar controllers were great. And the music was so much better in the arcade.
Yeah, that is a solid,
oh my God.
solid game.
All
again,
those voice
not
clips
one that
and
I was,
stuff,
yeah, I was never really very good at it.
Oh, God, I'm terrible at that game. The game's super hard.
Right? It's so hard.
Yeah, that game's insanely difficult.
But, man, like, back in the day, just walking into an arcade and seeing, like, bike handlebars that, like, very specific black rubber grips on there. Like, I could, just talking about it, and some of our listeners, probably most of our listeners, like, if you really sit here and think about it now, if you've ever played the arcade Paperboy, those grips were you can feel them in your hands right now. Like if you really sit and think about it,
because
they had a bunch of ridges. It wasn't like a solid thing all the way around, right? It was like almost like a bunch of like flappy little edges on it, right? And you would it's good. I don't know if that was advanced sweat dispersion technology that the fine
I
folks.
I think they were just bike handlebars. The ones
they were
just
shitty
the
ones
that
you
could
find.
Get.
Yeah, but oh man, very very specific.
Oh my God, and that so just good. The sound of that machine. You put the quarter in that machine, and you knew it. And you were in an arcade, and somebody started playing Paperboy. It just had such a very distinct sound. It's wonderful, wonderful game.
Good stuff.
All right, this is one's arguable, but it is largely a game about doing stuff, and I would argue that Animal Crossing belongs on the list.
That was on my list, man. Yeah, like, there's manual labor. You're fucking designing rooms and fishing and, like, chopping down trees and shit.
Especially, like, the newest one. It's a lot of, you know, digging holes, chopping trees, building stuff. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not
100%.
Necessarily your job, but it is physical labor. So
it's kind of your job because you can't progress without it.
Yeah, and as the island,
it is how you make money.
That is true. You do get money for goods and services,
right? Like, or you sell the shit that you know, like that you find or that you dig up or fish or whatever. Yeah, 100%. 100%. So another one I thought of, and it kind of along the same perhaps tertiary vibe as Animal Crossing, but I feel like Minecraft counts.
Interesting.
Right? Because you're in order to progress, you have to do the job of mining to a certain extent, right? You have to chop down trees. You have to, you know, build things. I feel like that sort of counts. Tertiary, sure, but I feel like it's in there. This is where I started running out of steam, Chris. So I was like, Minecraft? Yeah, kind of.
There is building, sure.
There's building, there's digging.
There's crafting, there's mining.
There's crafting, there's mining. The game is very much on its sleeve. What else you got?
Let's see. This one was actually a game I played recently because of a listener recommendation, and that is Wilmot's Warehouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was pretty fun. It was a pretty fun game. Also, got a little stressful, so I stopped playing it. But it's like, you know, you're organizing a warehouse. That's the game.
God, that really does sound stressful.
Yeah, but it was pretty fun at first. I liked it. It's a neat little experience.
Am I incorrect in thinking that that is like a whole subgenre of game that like that's very popular in Japan, or am I nuts by thinking
I
that?
I mean, I don't know about that, but I know that there's definitely a subset of games. Like I'm thinking, what was it? The Power Wash Simulator.
Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff exists on Steam. So,
Yeah. See, like, and that's kind of where, like, where I ended up with all of this stuff of like Job Simulator. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Job Simulator is just you working in an office. It's like this really crazy shit. And like, there's more to it than that, but very much on its surface, it is, you know, moving papers back and forth and typing on a computer and that sort of thing. And there's some fun to be had in VR. And then, you know, thinking about like the 18 wheeler, like delivery truck simulators and factory simulator and shit like that. And then I was like, man, I am out of shit. So I hope Chris has more.
And he does.
All right. What do you got?
This one is kind of a weird one, but I totally think it works, and that is Katamari Damacy.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that one. That is
100% your dad telling you to do manual labor.
Yeah, 100%. It happens to be super-duper fun manual labor.
Yes, indeed. Though I don't imagine the prince is having a very fun time.
I don't know, man. He's got a pretty big smile on his face most of the game.
I suppose that. I always imagine the prince looking more surprised than anything else during the game. But
if you could start with a tiny little ball and start rolling up some thumbtacks and some like bugs and shit, and then eventually roll up an island if you worked hard enough, wouldn't you?
Oh, without a doubt.
Without question, right? Yeah. Like, I would do that tomorrow if I could. That sounds fucking fun. Yeah, absolutely. Love that. Love that.
Shall I keep going?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. I'm out.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, no, I wasn't kidding. I literally could not think of anything else.
There are certainly some mini games and stuff like No More Heroes where you're mowing lawns and stuff, but that's sure. Not really a game about that. Right. I got Wario's Woods on here.
Okay.
So Wario's Woods is a puzzle game, and it's less a job and more about survival, because like Wario's trying to blow you up, I guess.
Right.
But it is a game about Toad picking things up and putting things down.
Like, yeah.
That's the game, is Toad physically lifting things and moving them around. So you're not moving, it's not a moving the blocks. You have to be Toad running around. You have to pick up a stack and put it down over there and pick up a stack and put it over there.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. That counts.
Some manual ass labor right there. And that's a great puzzle game. I
think that is Warriors some Woods. Manual ass labor right there.
It's fun. I love Wario's Woods, especially the Super Nintendo version. It looks so good, and the NES version gets all the attention because it's the last like officially licensed NES game from Nintendo, and the only one with an ESRB rating. But whatever, I love the Super Nintendo version.
It's worth a lot of money, especially if you sell it to yourself. Oh, next.
Oh,
let's go. That's right.
Lemmings.
Yeah, I fucking hate that game, but yeah.
I love Lemmings.
I know. You're Lemmings. So wrong.
It's more specifically the Super Nintendo version. I love the Super Nintendo version of Lemmings. And that game is just about assigning jobs. It's like, so the Lemmings walk forward, and to stop them from dying, you give them jobs. You're a builder. Yeah. You're a blocker. You're a bomber. You're a floater. You're a climber. You're a miner.
I've never been able to get into it.
Lemmings.
It is just not my thing.
This is another, our somewhat obvious one, Overcooked.
Oh, fuck. I did have that on my list. Yeah, Overcooked.
Yeah, running around as chefs in kitchens.
Yeah.
Cooking.
Well, yeah, because I thought of that and like Cooking Mama and Babysitting Mama, but like I don't know enough to talk about those.
The Cooking Mama and stuff. I didn't think of Cooking Mama and Babysitting Mama, but you're absolutely right. But Overcooked, I put a ton of time in. That game's wonderful.
Yeah, no, that game's great. The what is the new one? It's coming to PS5 for the PlayStation Plus games this month.
Oh, God. I don't know. They're all wonderful food puns.
Yeah, it's whatever the newest Overcooked is, I'll have it tomorrow.
Nice.
So I'm actually pretty excited about that.
that segued me into Trauma Center.
Oh my god, I totally forgot about that. Those games were so hard, but so fun.
I've never gotten anywhere in them before, but they're super fun and super cool.
They're really fun on VR, too.
Oh my god, they're in VR?
Yeah.
That's amazing!
Yeah. Very fun. Wait, am I making that up? Keep talking. I might be making that up. I'm pretty sure it feels like something I've played in VR.
That sounds now terrifying, but like, yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Go nuts. Let's see, I got two left. This one was another puzzle game that kind of popped in my head after I was thinking about Wario's Woods, is Sushi Striker.
Okay, okay.
Because, I mean, you know, it is a puzzle game, but you're effectively making sushi, right? Like,
yeah, you're not wrong.
You're not making the sushi so much as you're, like, distributing. Like, you're basically working the, what's that called in a restaurant? You're working the... Farts. It's been too long since I've watched Top Chef. Now I can't remember all the lingo.
It's not okay. I'm not making it up. It's not Trauma Center. It's Surgeon Simulator.
Oh,
basically, okay. Basically the same kind of idea, much less of a wacky anime story.
Gotcha.
But Surgeon Simulator. Okay, I'm not fucking crazy. All right. There's some really fun YouTube videos, by the way, of actual surgeons playing Surgeon Simulator. They do not go well. As if not to spoil it for anyone, but it's pretty funny.
So, Sushi Striker.
All right, Sushi Striker, I'll give you that one.
I like that one.
Oh, I did just think while you were talking, it was an iOS game, which I know you're not a mobile game player really at all, but there was a pretty fun Fix-It Felix game that came out when the first Wreck-It Ralph came out.
Yeah.
And that was pretty fun. Like, you're just bouncing around, fixing shit on the building and all, but it was a really, like, it felt like a very authentic 80s arcade game.
Yeah, there's an arcade version of that, actually.
Is there really?
Yeah, there's a friggin' arcade cabinet that exists.
I would play the shit out of that. Movie.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So I only have one more, but it's a doozy.
Goat Simulator.
It's no, even better. It's from the mind of Yute Saito of Seaman and Odama fame. We're talking about Aeroporter, airport baggage claim puzzle game.
Oh, god damn it.
Yeah, it's a puzzle game about sorting luggage. It's really good. I got stuck in it and I have no idea. I spent a while trying to figure out how to progress, and I just couldn't figure it out, so I eventually stopped playing it. But boy, oh boy, did I enjoy my time with that game. I don't think Yute Saito's still making video games, and that makes me really sad.
I mean, it's just... That dude just... I don't know how he got anything greenlit, but I'm really happy he did.
Like, I get Seaman, because Seaman is so him. Sure. Was so Sega, right? Like, that was such a weird Sega thing that totally made sense for Sega to be like, yeah, Seaman, all right. So, yeah, video games. There's something called Yute Tower. Oh, my God. I didn't realize that there was this was from Windows 95. All right.
Oof.
From 1998, Yute Tower. He's the lead who also worked on Sim Tower. Oh, boy, yeah. Produced this game as a sequel to Sim Tower, adding several new features while retaining the same general interface and style. The game's premise is largely unchanged from its... Okay, all right, so Sim Tower. Sounds neat, not terribly weird. There was a Seaman 2?
Hmm. Was there?
Oh, it was in Japan. It was on PlayStation 2. I had no idea. Seaman 2, the Peking Man Rearing Kit, is a virtual pet video game for the PlayStation 2. It is a sequel to Seaman on the Dreamcast. In the game, players act as a god of a miniature island, charged with the task of rearing Gabo, a 20-centimeter-tall Peking man, communicating through a custom microphone-equipped gamepad. That is awesome. Well, son of a bitch, why did that ever come out here in America?
Well, son of a bitch!
I mean, yeah, I don't know, man. Why it never came out in America.
There's so many reasons. Yeah, so many reasons it didn't come out.
Called C-Mail, but it was canceled. No information on it here on the old Wikipedia. Just C-mail canceled. Then there was Odama.
Right.
The feudal Japan military voice-controlled military pinball simulator. It's probably the most insane game I've ever played, and I love it.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Aeroporter. That was it. The Aeroporter was the last one that he did.
Man, that's a shame.
That's a bummer, because Aeroporter was great.
That is a shame.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's all I got.
You could not have a more comprehensive list, Chris.
Let's find out. Let's see what the people said. All right, so I'm going over to the Discord now. We've got Zeppelin03 said Animal Crossing. It's the first one. Look at that. Animal Crossing. Yep. Nailed it.
100%.
Rob Metzger, we got Animal Crossing Harvest Moon. Okay, that's a good one. Why didn't I think of Harvest Moon?
Oh, Harvest Moon. Yeah, farming. Farmville. Yeah. There you go.
And, let's see. That Switch game similar to Harvest Moon. I assume he's thinking of Stardew Valley.
Perhaps
Overcooked. There's Overcooked. Moving Out. Right, Moving Out. That was the one about the moving crew. Oh, that was a good one. Oh my God, Good Job. I didn't think a good job. Oh,
you
wasn't
talked about that
here.
A bunch, didn't you?
I did. Yeah. No, I still play that from time to time because the game's just super silly and funny. All right.
I'm just so you're aware. By the way, if I zone out and don't respond, it's because in my head I'm just singing Moving Out by Billy Joel, because you said that shit out loud, and I'm from New Jersey.
Fair enough.
So that's just what's happening now.
Zeppelin03 said Story of Seasons. That's one of those Harvest Moon spiritual successors.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Mining is Skyrim, then hauling back the ore always felt like a chore. All right.
Yeah, that counts, I think.
Tiny Matt was trying to think myself. Does Portal count as manual labor? You're a test subject in the game. Yeah, sure. I mean, Bridge Constructor does. Yeah, I'll give you Portal, sure.
Yeah, fuck it. Durok There's no Pig. Rules.
Oh, look at this. Durok Pig, my first thought was forklift driving in Shenmue. Yes. Overall, the game doesn't count, but sure. Yeah, you're driving a forklift. Yeah, I like that. Let's see. Zeppelin03 is back with How About the Sims? You aren't cleaning. If you aren't cleaning, you are at work. In the newer ones, you even go to the job and complete tasks. Yeah, all right. Durok Pig, here you go. I don't care what anyone says. I had a blast lugging packages around in Death Stranding. That game
There
was
you
dope.
Go. Yep.
There it is. Yep.
100%.
Oh, look at you thumbs up that one.
I did. Yep.
Let's see. Solidus Snares. Now we're still talking about Death Stranding. Durok Pig. Then you have Paperboy. Yes, absolutely. Played the heck out of that on the NES. Totally agree. Genix Lawn Mowing Simulator. It's tailor made for you.
I feel like that should be our favorite game.
I gotta try it. That the power washing one.
Yeah, for real.
I did see this mentioned earlier. Scion Storm. Excellent call on Sokoban. And then Ferg jumped in and said, is Shove It a manual labor game? And I would think so. That's when I went and took my picture of Shove It that was sitting right next to me when he posted that. And, basically a Sokoban type game, if I'm remembering right, that's what Shove It is. And that's box pushing the game. That's,
right.
So that's any Sokoban clones like, that and Quirk and all kinds of other things all about manual labor. And then it looks like the conversation devolved into people are really interested in me getting an Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm for it. I would like
not anytime
to have
soon.
One. Yeah. That's the thing. Everyone's talking about like a Series X is what I should get. I'm like, okay, but that's a lot of money I just want something a little bit more modern than my rickety 360. Like I got this 360 used for free.
Right.
At part of a Black Friday sale from GameStop. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll update that. But then it's got this microscopic hard drive, so I wasn't able to bring over most of my games from my old 360 that was basically dead.
Right.
I want something newer and a bit more reliable. And everyone's talking about how like the Xbox Series X does all the backwards compatibility stuff. Like, I was thinking like, oh, maybe I'll get, you know, now that's the previous generation, I should theoretically be able to find an Xbox One for a somewhat decent price, right?
I mean, but they're just not reliable enough.
And they're not there. Like, they're just well, not that out too. There.
Yeah.
The Series X is expensive and also not easy to get right now, but it's pretty pricey, but it does, like, the physical backwards compatibility. Like, you put the disc in, then it gets you the digital copy of the upgraded version of it that has, like, the, you know, fixes and, you know, faster loading times and higher frame rates and stuff. That all sounds really neat and a good way to continue to keep my original Xbox lineup viable. Not that there's right. a ton of games on the Xbox that I play, but between the Xbox and the Xbox 360, I have a handful of games that mean a decent amount to have in my collection. And
you know, and stuff you might want to jump back into every now and
without
again.
Without a doubt. Like,
and, man, Microsoft has done just an infinitely not... It's just not even close how much better they have been about the ease of... I insert the disc... And it plays on this shit. I don't, there's not, like, did you see all this stuff about the Horizon Forbidden West?
Oh my God,
like,
yeah.
They right, announced, dude. Like, 9 fucking different versions. Like, how, Sony, how are you guys fucking this up so bad? I'm not even talking about, like, having to pay for the upgrade, which I do think is shitty, but, like, I get it, more work went into it. It's the same argument that you make with the Mario games, right?
Yeah.
And like,
but they more work that, went into they? This,
right? Just for Horizon. From now on, it's going to be like Sony's going to charge like $10 to upgrade, which is like, again, I don't love it, but it is what
I,
it is.
I don't love it either, but I understand that. That makes sense to me. Like,
you're putting more work in. There's legitimate more work going into the production of these games. You're not just it's not just a switch you have to flick. You have to program the haptic feedback. You have to pay people to, like, I get all that.
And fine, it's not whatever. Like it's, yeah, that's a whole conversation. But no, I'm all for that. I am. I think that's fine.
With the Xbox, with the smart delivery technology that Xbox has on the series, like, you just buy the game, and it automatically gives you the version that you should have that will be the best for the system that you have. Whether you're on the Series X, the S, the One, the whatever, you put a disc in that's backwards compatible, it automatically downloads the shit that you need.
And that's where, wonderful.
That's how it should be. Like, they legitimately fucking announced like 9 different versions of Horizon Forbidden West. What are you guys doing? That's absurd. There should be a PS5 version and PS4 version. There should be two versions. That's all you need. And if you buy it on PS4, then you can upgrade it for $10. Like, what the fuck else are we doing here? But then there's special editions and special editions of this. And this version comes with PS5 and the PS4 version. I'll fucking want both of them. I'm not going to play it on two systems at the same time to compare it. It's fucking weird, man. Honestly, Sony has dropped the ball so huge on that. And it doesn't matter, like, at all. It just doesn't, because their sales are so high. Because their exclusives are great. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, I'm going to figure out what I have to do to play the new God of War. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to make it fucking difficult, but I'm still going to do it. Because I have to. I'm not going to not play it. You know? Whereas Microsoft, I just... As good as a lot of that shit is, I don't know that they have the exclusives that make that fight worth it to casuals. You know what I mean? Like, if you're into Forza, if you're into Halo, if you're into those things, then you've got that smart delivery system. That's great. But, I don't know. Sony really needs to fucking step that shit up, because it is annoying.
I mean, I'm looking through my original Xbox library right now, and You know, there's a handful of games in here that I've wanted to put some time into. I've been saying for the longest time that I'd like to give Halo the campaign just a shot. The Master Chief Collection. I could do that. I'm probably not gonna play through the whole thing, but yeah. just so that I understand Halo. And, you know, maybe if I wind up with one of these things, that's where I'll wind up playing a Doom Eternal.
Right.
Instead of on the Switch, which, I mean, I want it on the Switch. I do, but I don't know.
But it's not the best experience.
If I had another option, which right. I do, I could get it on the PlayStation 4 right now, but it's not what I want to do. It's right. not where I want to play it. And for some reason,
right.
there's something Xboxy about it that makes me think, like, all right, maybe if I got one of these fancy schmancy new systems, I could do it there. And I look at my 360 games, and there's almost nothing. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, I might end up with an Xbox at some point. Like I've said before, just because Game Pass is great. And honestly, last generation was the only Xbox generation. I mean, it was only the third generation, but I had a 360 and I had an original Xbox.
Same here.
I just didn't get last generations.
Same for whatever. Here.
And I don't really have a great reason why. You know what I mean? Like, well, I have
a great reason. There wasn't ever anything I wanted to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a ton that I wanted to do. Like, I just want to play Crimson Skies. That's all I want. How much money do I have to spend to play Crimson Skies again?
And then there's, like, the stuff that I'm fascinated or with on the Xbox are, like, the ones that are... Oh, man, those games are expensive.
Otogi is?
I was just looking at that, because I was looking at my Xbox collection. I have one and two.
I just have the discs. I tossed everything else like an asshole.
Like, they're DVD cases. They don't even take up space, whatever. The first one, complete, is going for $42. The second one's going at $75.
Ah, that's not that expensive.
Yeah, they're not crazy, but for original Xbox games, I don't know how many more super expensive Xbox games exist, but
like,
I don't have Conquer because that game's expensive and it's the worst version of the game, so.
I might have Conquer on the original Xbox. I know I've got the Otogi games. I've got my copy of Crimson Skies. I've got fucking Voodoo Vince.
I have Voodoo Vince. I have Race as Hell.
Game. I like that game.
Yeah, I have Voodoo Vince. Race as Hell. I have
Panzer Dragoon Orta.
Yep, that's
Advent Rising.
Big one for me. I have Ninja Gaiden. Ninja Gaiden Black. I had the Midway Arcade Treasures because the original Mortal Kombat's on there. And then I like the games on the Xbox that were supposed to like change everything, but then wound up being like bargain bin games later like, down the line.
Grabbed by the Ghoulies and Cameo and shit.
More like I'm thinking weirder shit like Malice. Remember when Malice was supposed to be, it was like the big Xbox exclusive Malice with the girl with the hammer and there.
I was hyped for that game too. That was like right up my alley.
Disappeared for years, and then it resurfaced as a budget title. I have that. I don't have Galleon. That's the one that I want. Remember Galleon? That was made by one of the people behind Tomb Raider, and that was supposed to be like,
we're
replacing Tomb Raider in the world. This is going to be the thing, Galleon.
Yeah,
and it like fucking tanked.
Yeah,
and. I don't own it, and I want to, because those kinds of stories fascinate me. And those kinds of games fascinate me.
It's interesting.
And God, this game's ugly as hell looking. It's so Xbox.
There was some really weird shit. I really did love my original Xbox, and I loved my 360, too. I had a blast with it.
Oh, man, I spent so much time on my 360.
Yeah, and it was a good system.
There was just nothing on Xbox One that...
That really spoke to me.
This is this is worth me tracking down a full on console for. But now that the generation's over, it's like, all right, there's Rare Replay, and there's Battletoads, and there's a handful of other stuff that I own.
Killer Instinct.
Yeah, Killer Instinct. I'd put a little time into that. I never tried Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z. I don't know if that's any good, but it looked interesting to me. I'm always game to try something. Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah. You know? So that's like the weird zombie one, right?
Is it? It's like the super animated looking.
Yeah. It's on the PlayStation PlayStation Now or whatever.
My IBA.
I haven't spent much time with it because it's not great from what I remember. I was just one of those like, oh, cool, a Ninja Gaiden game. No, I'm going to play Rocket Knight Adventures because that's also on here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm
there's
gonna do that instead.
It's the original Rocket Knight, right? That's a
yeah,
not the original. Sorry, that game Rocket Knight, which made me angry. Which the original Rocket Knight Adventures on Genesis, which has never been ported to anything, is fantastic. And then there were two different games called Sparkster.
Yeah,
and they're both pretty darn good too. And then they did that Rocket Knight game, which I really wanted to love, but it was all like they took all the soul out of the art style in there. It was just this like,
yeah,
all right, this is just looks generic art style now with 3D graphics. It's a 2.5D game. They took everything that was so full of life and personality from the original games and just kind of washed it out in this generic looking platformer. And it was still fun enough, but I never even bothered with the full game. I played the demo and said this isn't what I'm looking for. But that's the last we ever heard of Rocket Knight, which is a shame because it's such a cool franchise. I wish they'd put a collection together for crying out loud. But whatever. Boy, we went off topic, huh?
We really did.
Where even are we? All right, it's 10:50.
Anyway, crikey. We're done. That's where we are.
We're cooked. We have kids that need to go to school in the morning.
Yeah, you do. I don't. Mine go to school on Wednesday.
Ah, oh, son of a bitch. You get an extra.
Because my school district appreciates Jewish people, unlike yours.
Clearly. All right. That's
Happy Rosh Hashanah for everyone celebrating.
For those that celebrate.
That's right.
We're all Yom inclusive. Kippur, that's the one I was thinking of.
No, that's not tomorrow.
Yeah.
That it's was Rosh Hashanah.
The state one of the. The
prison. Oh, yes, sorry.
Just that off limits. Just don't. The big wide open gate that leads to the freeway into town. Just don't go over there. It's a favor to me. And normally, the guards would be keeping a lookout, but they got the day off. What with it being Yom Kippur and all. You got an escape plan. Yeah, what's the plan? See that big wide open gate? I'm going to walk over to it, and I'm going to walk out of it. Yom Kippur only comes once a year, boys. All right, that's our show. Join us next week as Dan and I catch up on our starter kits with the Game Gear episode that we were going to do last week. It's going to be fun and full of Game Gear. Yay.
Full of Game Gear.
Yeah. I got a good list. I'm feeling good about it.
I'm going to go, I'm going to double check my list and see if anything got cheaper. See if point. I can, you know, add anything. I'm not going to pay attention if it got more expensive though. I will ignore that part.
The prices went up. Fuck.
That's right. Fuck.
All right. We're on most social media platforms. And if you want to get in touch with us, we aren't very difficult to find. All it takes is a quick look at our show notes and you'll see links to our social media accounts, as well as all manner of other fun stuff, like a link to our namesake, StoneAgeGamer.com, the Geekade Patreon, which helps us keep this show running week after week, and more useful links than you can shake a joystick at. The show's theme song, Squared Roots, was written by Banjo Guy Ollie. You can learn all about his wonderful music and more by following the link to his YouTube channel, also in the show notes. And finally, as always, we'd like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. We'd like to thank all you folks for listening in the first place. That is it. Dan and I are going to bed on behalf of myself and Dan, who's also going to bed, and the English language, which I'm currently butchering. Keep playing games.